Greetings to each of you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. We greet you in Jesus' name. Where would we be without the love and example and sacrifice of Jesus? And it's in his name that I greet you this morning. In my lot to bring the message again this morning, and it so happens that I will be speaking here again this Wednesday evening, and I don't know if I should apologize for that or what I should do about that, but I'm uncomfortable when the congregation hears me too much in a row. I did look at the schedule, and the next time that I stand behind this pulpit will be the beginning, after Wednesday evening, will be the beginning of July, so hang in there. I have a little object lesson for us this morning. As I thought about the message, simply a broken coffee cup, a bunch of pieces. Fairly recently broken in the last few hours. A broken coffee cup. The title of the message this morning is Broken Things. Broken Things. I was wondering what I could break. Also told my wife I wish that we had a burlap bag. I didn't have one of those for another reason. But this morning as I was taking the trash out, I heard something in the bag. It sounded broken. And I thought that maybe this is my object. But it was pressed for time. But I decided that yes, this I believe is my object. So I rooted down in the bag and I found a coffee cup and the handle was broken off. And I proceeded to go to my toolbox and get a hammer and put it in a bag. And I just did a couple taps on the side of it and it just shattered into a bunch of pieces. Broken things. Can you connect with broken things? The journey of life is full of broken things. And often we think of broken things as being negative. And it often is. But aren't there aspects where broken things, there's a positive aspect to broken things as well, when things are broken. Sometimes things of value and usefulness get broken and are beyond repair. This coffee cup is beyond repair. And I don't know the story behind this coffee cup and why it's broken. Why the handle was broken off, or why, I'm not sure. Sometimes it's because of things being broken that a greater result can be accomplished. Now think with me about the last few days in your life. Have you experienced disappointment in experiencing or hearing of something that was broken? Perhaps in your house, you ladies broke a dish. Or we moved into our house 8 years ago in July, and we soon learned, not real long after we moved there, that the counter and the tile floor was very hard, and if you drop something of glass or pottery, it would break really quickly. and took us, we learned that pretty quickly. Maybe you've had some broken things this past week. Well, the negative side, broken things touch us in various ways. There are broken relationships. There's divorce. There's envy and strife. There's jealousy. And there's broken relationships. There's broken emotions where things happen and we cry. Our emotions are broken. Maybe we're discouraged. Maybe we're depressed. Maybe we're fearful. We're anxious. Broken emotions. People talk about being broke. Well, they mean broken finances. Their finances are broken. There's broken health. There's cancer. There's Lyme's disease. There's asthma. There's sickness. There's broken health. Brokenness. And just simply broken things. We break. There's things that break. And we all experience, one thing that's native to all of us is that we all experience the pain or the experience either happened to us or of someone else of broken things. Happens to all of us. A broken coffee cup is one thing. It's fairly minor, but there's things that maybe this coffee cup had a specific memory attached to it. Maybe it was a gift. And it got broken. And there's disappointment. That's one thing. But there are things of greater magnitude that happen in our lives that are brokenness, that something breaks of much greater and lasting impact. And it touches our lives. It affects us. Perhaps it might be something of our own choosing. Or it may be something that happened to us, not of our choosing. But it affected us. It affects us. It's a close relative that you might hear of. That, oh my, you get the call and there's a revelation of brokenness. Something broke. And when that happens, there's a pain and a grief that comes into our experience. Just hold that thought. But on the positive side, God does great things with brokenness, with broken things. God does great things. God does great things, this is a quote, God does great things through brokenness. Broken soil gives crops. Broken eggs give life. Broken skies give rain. Broken crayons still color. That's Max Lucado. Broken crayons still color. Now, I would like to think about something for a moment, and that is the burlap bag. I don't have one here to show you. But think about the burlap bag. We all have one. Okay, not physically, but think about it in your mind. We all have a burlap bag. This burlap bag, this sack is given to us in life. In this sack we carry the stones and broken things, the remnants of what once was, the broken dream, the pain, the insult that we took, the broken relationship, the what came to us, or maybe what we created, and it caused brokenness, disappointment to someone else, or disappointment to our own life. The home that is dysfunctional, dad leaves home, mom left home. The sin that is involved, or otherwise, I don't know what it is in your experience. But you carry in your burlap sack the pieces of that experience. It might be stones of rejection, stones or pieces of regret, jarred pieces of grief, pieces of hurt, stones of the past, stones of disappointment, stones of shame for what you've been done or what you've been involved in, and etc. Think in your own mind the stones that you carry in your burlap sack over your shoulder. You're holding on to them. The presence of the sack and our response to it has a direct bearing on the type of person that we will become. It is difficult to muster energy for the future when all of one's energy is required to shoulder the past. We cannot get away from broken things and the way that they touch our lives. We cannot get away from it. In eternity, there will be no brokenness. There will be no broken things. It is the response to these things carried in the burlap sack that drives a person to addictions, that drives a person to bitterness and anger, that drives a person to depression and fear, anxiousness of the future. And often the results of shouldering the weight of the burlap bag results in stones or pieces of shard coffee cup or glass or steel. I'm talking in illustration terms here. But often the results of shouldering the weight of the burlap bags results in stones being thrown at others, and often to those that we love the most. It's hard to be thoughtful of others when your thoughts or my thoughts are focused on myself. It's hard to be affirming when you are seeking affirmation. It's hard to be forgiving when you feel guilty or I feel guilty. It's hard to be giving when I feel entitled. The burlap bag. I'd like you to think about the burlap bag. And what is in your burlap bag? What have you done with the burlap bag? You know, carrying a burlap bag full of things. It's itchy. It's rough. It's tiring. The burlap bag. Now, I'd like to shift just with those thoughts in the backdrop. I would like to think now. The title of the message is "Broken Things." I told you that. I like to think now. And just think about that backdrop of broken things. And I like to think now, and I like to look at five broken things that the Bible talks about and how they affect our lives. And maybe through this, we can gain some help into what to do with our broken things. So the first one that I want you to look about at is broken bread. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, and I want to read about the first broken thing. There's a lot of broken things that the Bible talks about, but I'd like to look first of all at the broken bread. In Matthew chapter 14, I'd like to read this account of what happens here. Matthew 14 and verses 15 to 21. You Bible scholars know this. I'd like to read this. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past." Notice some negatives here. It's desert. The time is past. "Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals," or buy food. "But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give you them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but five loaves and two fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." First, broken bread. As we think of the broken things, this is Jesus looks up into heaven. He takes these meager elements, five loaves and two fishes, and he looks up to heaven and blesses it. And then he breaks it. He breaks the loaves and gives it to the disciples. Two things I notice. Jesus' provision is adequate and immense. Notice the progression of the happenings. The disciples gave to Jesus the little they had. Jesus blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the people. I don't know when the multiplication happened. I believe that it happened as the disciples were giving it to the people. So can you imagine? Jesus looks up to heaven, blesses this bread that you have. You're going to feed 5,000 people. That's a lot of people. You have five loaves and you have two fishes. And you go out and you start handing this bread out. And as you hand out the bread, there's just always more bread. And you keep breaking bread and you keep giving it to people. This bread that it just keeps coming. And when you're all done, there's 12 baskets full of leftover bread. Remember, loved one, that man's inability is God's possibility. Think of Mary, Jesus' mother, in response to the angel's message that she heard about Jesus. She's to be the mother of Jesus. What was her statement? "For with God nothing shall be impossible."
Nothing shall be impossible. This broken bread is one type of the broken body of Jesus, which is his broken body for us. The other that I see is that the supply of Jesus, the supply when we give the little that we have to Jesus, he can make it enough. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 14 to 21. I'm just going to turn there and read some of those verses to you. Just encouraging to me. As I think about the broken things in my burlap bag. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Bring to Jesus what you have, your inability, the broken bread. Just bring to Jesus what you have. Bring it to him. Bring it to him. Number two, the broken spirit. The broken spirit. Psalm 51 and verse 17. No doubt you thought of this one. Psalm 51 and verse 17. David and after his sin with Bathsheba, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken spirit. Psalm 147, verses 2 and 3 tells us this: "The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Psalm 34. I'm going to turn back there. There's a few verses there I want to read. Psalm 34, 15 to 22. "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh," he's close, "unto them that are of a broken spirit, broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." That's a promise. Broken spirit. The broken spirit is one of humble repentance, first of all. sorrow for sin and a surrender of human will to God. Broken spirit. Broken spirit. God promises to transform the sorrow of brokenheartedness into joy and peace in Isaiah 61, 1-3. I'm not going to turn there, but it'd be really good if we did. It talks about giving the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness broken. So when we're broken because of sin, we come to God and we're broken and we confess our sin and we're just broken. We just feel terrible. The Bible says, Lord is nigh unto him that has a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Secondly, there's the brokenness of there's the heaviness of heart and the sorrow, the grief of disappointments that we carry. And we bring them. And Jesus came to shoulder those things. I want to tell you that there are things that happen in life that are too heavy for us to carry. And you need to bring them. We must bring them to Jesus. Bring them. The things may disturb our peace. And we bring them to Jesus. And he's faithful and just to forgive. And then we need to claim that forgiveness. Number three, broken bands. Psalm 107, 14-16 talks of broken bands. Maybe I'll just turn there, read some of those verses. 14-16. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Well, he breaks the bands asunder. Psalm 68, verse 6, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious shall dwell in a dry land. Chains and bands confine. Chains and bands hinder growth. Chains and bands control a person. The demon-possessed man in Mark 5 experienced freedom from the bondage of demonic possession. There's broken bands. I want to extend to you the power of Jesus through his work. Has the power to break the bands of human experience. No, not against your will. If thou wilt, you can be clean. If thou wilt. Broken bands. Number four is the broken box. Matthew 26. In verse 7, is the broken box. The woman, I believe she was Mary, came to Jesus and anointed him. The alabaster box, the broken box. Matthew 26, in verse 7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head, and he sat at meat. Mark chapter 14 and verse 3 specifically tells us that she broke the box. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head, the broken box. This box contained, all right, think with me, your yearly wage. The whole year.
That's what it contained. Well, if you want to put it in those terms, it contained 300 days' worth of finances, of income. She broke the box and poured this on Jesus' head. And the disciples were jealous. They were like, why is this waste made? This is, I mean, this money could have been given to the poor. The pouring out of this ointment, in one thing, is an act of devotion and sacrifice. Selfless sacrifice. A statement of giving one's best to the master. But there's also something deeper in this, and that is that a criminal, Jesus, I believe, foresaw dying a criminal's death. And a criminal was not anointed before the burial. And I believe Mary saw and believed in Jesus and knew who he was. And this was her opportunity to anoint him. And he says at one point that she did it for my burial. She was connected with Jesus and who he was. She poured out this ointment. Luke 9, 23 and 25, Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Mary was discerning. Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, verses 7 to 13, the things that were gained to him, he counted loss for Christ. Broken things. Perhaps sometimes we continue to carry the burlap sack in all its chafing and the weight of it because we are simply unwilling to recognize Jesus for who he is and what he can do for us. And we continue to just keep a hold of it. Number 5 is a broken staff of bread. Broken staff of bread. Now this one, I trust I'm not taking this out of context. But as I think of the brokenness that happens to us, the broken things, what happens around us, the broken staff of bread, Psalm 105, 11 to 19. Saying unto thee, I'm just breaking in here. Saying unto thee, why give the land of Canaan the lot of your inheritance? When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, children of Israel here, Jacob's, children of Israel, verse 13, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. And so on. It talks about the story of Israel going down into Egypt. But the broken staff of bread. I become comfortable and complacent, I can, the tendency is there, when times are easy, the money is sufficient, the work is good, the crops are growing, and life is good, the sun shining brightly, and we can become comfortable and complacent. We can sit at ease in Zion. But then there comes
the broken staff of bread. While physical sustenance and supply can be taken away, spiritual supply vitality remains a constant. It is in times of failing resources that we are brought face to face with our total dependence on the mercy and divine assistance of God. And I don't have to tell you that, you know that. But it's hard when those times come. I don't have time to go into this in depth, but it's an interesting study. So think with me of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist knew Jesus. He was preparing the way for Jesus. He preached repentance. He knew Jesus. He saw him coming and said, "There is someone coming whose shoe latchets I'm unworthy to unloose." He knew the prophecies of Jesus concerning Jesus. And one day he finds himself sitting in jail. And there he is. And he says to some men, he says, go and ask Jesus, are you the one that is prophesied, or should we look for another? This is John the Baptist. And Jesus gives them a reply, and he tells these men, go back and talk to John, and you tell him that you see the dead is raised to life, and the blind having sight, and so on. Go tell him what you see. Why didn't Jesus go to John the Baptist in jail? Isaiah says that those who are in prison, he's going to set free. Why didn't Jesus go to John the Baptist in jail and free him? Do you think John the Baptist was thinking that too? Like, if this is Jesus, if it is who he said he is, then why am I here in this spot? Did John the Baptist get out of prison free? No. He was beheaded in prison. Did it change who Jesus was? No. Jesus is still the same. What I'm saying is that the validation of our faith being real is not in the absence of physical discomfort. Okay, I didn't have that in my notes, but just because there's physical discomfort, there's a broken staff of bread, does not mean that God is not present. Just because God appears silent does not mean that he is absent. We continue on in faith, believing and trusting in God. Broken staff of bread. Trust him. Trust him. Sometimes the tests of life test our faith. Elijah certainly experienced that, the need of divine provision on his journey in Mount Horeb. There he was. He experienced a broken staff of bread. The ravens, the birds came. Well, if I was sitting in a desperate, how desperate must the situation be when you are sitting alone and the birds bring you something to eat? And then the brook that you're sitting by dries up. Broken staff of bread, continue to trust God. Bring to him. Now I want to end with this conclusion. And no doubt you thought maybe of this, of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. What is the answer for us? Broken things. broken things. Bring it. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to the cross. Bring it to Him and leave it there. Bring to Jesus the broken things contained in the burlap sack. Let Him redeem them. It is in accepting by faith the Lordship of Jesus Christ, His sovereign plan, that broken things become transformed to monuments of God's grace. Monuments of God's grace. I'd like to read a poem and then I'm going to close. Written by Ada Wine. And it's simply titled Matthew 11:28. Gracious invitation. Come ye unto me, all who have labored long and wearily, all who carry burdens, grief or pain or care, guilt or fear or tensions. If your load will, I your load will share. I will heal your sorrows. I will cleanse your sins. Banish your frustrations. Give you peace within. Come in faith, believing that my way is best. Then, for soul and body, there will be sweet rest. I know that's easier said than done. God wants us to rest in joy and peace in the midst of broken things. Let us kneel to pray.